Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Good morning and welcome to The Public File. I'm Doug Thomas, and my guest for this segment is Luz Maria Robles. She is the Public Information Officer for the Sacramento YOLO Mosquito and Vector Control District. The website, fightthebite.net. Good morning, Luz.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me. Such a pleasure to come on here and talk all about mosquitoes and how to fight the bite.
Absolutely. And this time of year, of course, it's important. Summer is just around the corner, and with the heat comes the outdoor activities and everybody's favorites, as you mentioned, mosquitoes.
Yeah, I don't know if really mosquitoes are everybody's favorite. I only say that I love mosquitoes because they give me this job that allows me to talk to people about mosquitoes. And you know, I think at this rate, I'm going to be employed for a long time because I don't think mosquitoes are going anywhere.
We would love to put you out of business, but yeah, I don't see that happening anytime soon. And one of the fun parts of your job, you know more about mosquitoes than anyone else in the world. But seriously, share some of your interesting facts about mosquitoes, Luz.
Well, I definitely, there's many more people that know a lot more about mosquitoes, but I love to talk about them and I try and make them make the topic fascinating. So some fun facts is that a lot of people don't know that there's many varieties of mosquitoes. Worldwide, we have about 3,500 different species of mosquitoes.
Wow.
So almost every country that you travel, I'm sure you're going to find a mosquito, right? And mosquitoes are obviously more than a nuisance, and that's why we're talking about mosquitoes here today. So one other fun fact, too, is that mosquitoes are attracted to us by our smell. You know, people think that they're attracted to us by our blood or by other elements, but no, we attract mosquitoes based on our scent.
Mm.
So maybe it's a good scent, like a flowery lotion, maybe a nice smelling shampoo, a good perfume, or maybe you might be hot and sweaty. But mainly we attract mosquitoes when we're breathing, right? So they can smell the CO2 in our breath from far away, and that's how we attract them to us. Also, mosquitoes have pretty good eyesight. They can see darker colors more so than lighter colors. And, you know, in our area, we have about 24 different species of mosquitoes that come out at different times of the year in Sacramento and Yolo County.
That's amazing right there. 24 different types of mosquitoes here in Northern California?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just in our area. Within the state, there's about 55. But, yeah, you know, I know that to the general public, a mosquito is a mosquito. But some mosquitoes prefer to bite people. Other mosquitoes prefer to bite animals. You know, there's mosquitoes that were only around like in the fall or the spring, so they're definitely seasonal, and that's something that I think a lot of people don't know and would find interesting.
A lot of our listeners have pets too, and so you say some of the mosquitoes like to go after humans, and there are mosquitoes that go after pets, huh?
Yes, exactly. Well, either pets or, you know, birds, but yeah, you're right. I mean, there's a specific mosquito that likes to bite dogs, and they can transmit dog heartworms. That's something that people, they know that when they go to the vet recommends that the dog be put on heartworm medication, but they don't know that mosquitoes are the ones that can transmit heartworms to your dog.
Wow. Yep, I learned something already. What's the life cycle of a mosquito, and why is that important?
The life cycle of a mosquito actually depends on temperature. One interesting thing is that all mosquitoes start their life in water. A lot of people don't know that, right? They go through a complete metamorphosis. And I like to compare mosquitoes sort of like to butterflies because butterflies go through different stages and people can relate to that, right? So most mosquitoes lay their eggs on top of the water in something called an egg raft. They look very small, maybe like a tiny grain of rice, but in there, they're going to be between 50 to 200 eggs.
Mm.
Once those eggs hatch, they hatch into something called a larva or a wiggler. And then from there, they turn into a pupa, or what I like to call like a mosquito cocoon. And then from there, they emerge as adults. That whole life cycle depends on temperature. So the hotter it is, the quicker they will complete their life cycle. So as we head into the summer, And, you know, it gets very hot. They can go from an egg to an adult in as little as 4 to 7 days. Mm. And when you think about the fact that one female mosquito alone can lay up to 200 eggs at a time, that means that within a few days, you know, we have hundreds of thousands of mosquitoes. And that explains why we have so many more mosquitoes in the summer, right?
Right.
So in the wintertime, they complete their life cycle a lot slower, say, you know, 14 to 21 days, et cetera. So, you know, mosquitoes, we actually have them year-round, but obviously they're more abundant in the summer, and that's why they become a bigger public health risk during the summer months.
What do females do that the males don't, and why is it that the females are the ones that bite?
Females are the only ones that bite, right? Mm. So a lot of people don't know that. Males do not bite. They actually feed on nectar. So plant nectar, that's one of the good things that mosquitoes do, aside from being, you know, part of the ecosystem. But much to the surprise of a lot of people, only female mosquitoes bite, and they do that because they need the protein in our blood to be able to lay eggs and continue their life cycles.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the illnesses that mosquitoes transmit?
There's a variety of illnesses, and mosquitoes are definitely more than a nuisance. In our area, the disease that we're mostly concerned about is West Nile virus. That's mm-hmm. a disease that's been around for quite some time, since 2003, actually. It came to California. And it's here to stay, unfortunately, right? So that's a disease that we have to be concerned about year after year. Other diseases, you know, that are not necessarily in our area or that we do find on a much smaller scale would be like malaria or dengue or chikungunya, all diseases that are very common in other parts of the world. And every year we do get cases of those diseases, but they're all travel-related cases,
right?
Not ones that are, you know, locally acquired. Even though we do have the mosquitoes that can transmit them, that's part of the reason why it's great to have mosquito control districts, because our job is to make sure that we are protecting the residents that we serve against these diseases.
What exactly is West Nile virus? Where does it come from, and how did it get here?
West Nile virus is a mosquito-transmitted disease. This is actually a bird disease, right? So birds such as jays, crows, magpies, finches, those are the birds that are most susceptible to West Nile virus. When they bite the bird, automatically that bird gets infected. And then when another mosquito bites it, then that's how the virus kind of keeps perpetuating. But it came here to California in 2003. Originally in the United States, it first showed up in New York in bird populations, but then it slowly started moving westward. And now it's, you know, it's a disease that's endemic, and it's definitely here to stay.
What are some of the symptoms of West Nile virus, Luz?
Yes. Mm-hmm. So some of the main symptoms, so 80% of people don't, your body kind of gets rid of the symptoms on its own, so you wouldn't even know that you had a West Nile virus. 20% of people develop what we call a West Nile virus fever that can include a fever, headache, nausea, maybe some vomiting, maybe a rash, a swollen lymph nodes. And then the very severe cases of West Nile virus happen to like 1 in 150 people develop the very severe form of the disease that could lead to, you know, hospitalization and even death, unfortunately. And last year in California, there were 129 confirmed human cases and 12 deaths. So definitely something that we need to be aware about, and that we need to take all the proper precautions, because somebody might feel like, well, 1 in 150 people, that's not very much, right? But, you know, if it happens to be one of your loved ones, it's definitely a life-altering and life-changing disease, and the symptoms can stay with you for many years.
Yeah, I mean, we used to think about cancer as something that happened to other people, but we know that that's everywhere now, and it sounds like
Yes. If
we don't keep an eye out, West Nile virus is going to be everywhere.
Exactly, yes.
Who's most at risk of contracting West Nile virus?
The people that are most at risk are the very young or the very elderly, or people that have a compromised immune system. So, you know, we definitely want to make sure that seniors are doing everything that they can to protect themselves. And, of course, anybody that has a compromised immune system would also be at higher risk, unfortunately.
You're listening to The Public File. I'm Doug Thomas, and my guest this morning is Luz Maria Robles. She is the Public Information Officer for the Sacramento YOLO Mosquito and Vector Control District, and you can find out more online, fightthebite.net. Well, Luz, I think I've told you this story before, but growing up, we did a lot of camping, and one thing I'll never forget is how the mosquitoes would always go straight for my brother. So, other than bringing him wherever I go, what can I do to prevent mosquitoes from biting me?
Yes. Well, the best thing that you can do is, you know, personal protection. You know, that's what we always recommend. to keep mosquito bites, to keep yourself free of mosquito bites, using an effective mosquito repellent when spending time outdoors is going to be, the best thing that you can do. And people always often ask me, what's the best repellent out there? And we don't endorse a specific brand. What we always say is just find the repellent that you like and use it, because repellent can come in lotions, sprays, towelettes, oils. The gold standard for a natural type of repellent is oil of lemon eucalyptus. And then all the other repellents usually have the active ingredients DEET, picaridin, or IR3535. So basically, finding a repellent depends on the type of activity that you're going to be doing. If you're going to be walking the dog, going to the park, just for maybe half an hour or so, then a repellent that has a low percentage of the active ingredient, most of them are between, say, 7 to 15, that would be a suitable insect repellent for you. But if you're going to go hiking or camping in the deep woods, then you need something with a stronger protection. So then there's repellent that it comes in concentrations of, say, 25, 30, 40% DEET, or, the active ingredients.
Right.
So it really depends on the activity that you're going to be doing it. So think about this sort of like sunscreen, right? The longer you're going to be out exposed to mosquitoes, you'll need stronger protection and you'll need to reapply more often.
Right. And if you're out doing activities that involve swimming too, you're going to have to remember to reapply once you get out of the water, correct?
Yes, that's correct. Because, the repellent can wash off and you'll definitely need to reapply.
Well, Luz, what are invasive mosquitoes and why are they such a problem these days?
Well, invasive mosquitoes, that's actually our newest challenge, right? Invasive mosquitoes came to California in about 2010, and originally they were only in Southern California. There's two specific types of invasive mosquitoes that are currently being found in California. So the Aedes aegypti mosquito, that's called the yellow fever mosquito. That's a common name. And then there's another mosquito called Aedes albopictus, or the Asian tiger mosquito. Those are the two species of invasive mosquitoes that are here. Originally, they were only in SoCal, but they started moving north, and we actually detected these mosquitoes for the first time in our area in Citrus Heights in 2019. And ever since then, they've been spreading very, very quickly. And what makes these mosquitoes very different than the typical or the normal mosquitoes that we have in the area is, one, they're very small, dark mosquito that is an aggressive day-biting mosquito. It definitely prefers to bite people. It mainly lives in urban areas, and it can live both indoors and outdoors. They particularly like to bite around the ankles for some reason, and they call them container-breeding mosquitoes because they can breed in very small containers of water. Even a teaspoon of water is enough to breed these mosquitoes, right? But they can also breed in areas say, the plant axils where the stem meets the leaf in certain plants like bromeliads. They can obviously breed in plant saucers and buckets and bird baths in a pet bowl or any small container that you leave outside can and will become a mosquito breeding source. So we're very concerned about this specific species of mosquito because once it's established in any given area, it's very difficult to control. And one thing that makes this mosquito very concerning is that they lay individual eggs in small sources of water, and their eggs, they can actually, they can be dormant and still survive for more than, 6 months. So the eggs are resistant to drying out, and they can survive for many months, until water covers them again. Very similar same life cycle as, the other mosquitoes, but this one is just very different because it's spreading rapidly, and this one is capable of transmitting diseases such as Zika, dengue, and chikungunya. And really, the real risk of now having this mosquito here is, there's a lot of people that travel to other countries, say Mexico, Central, South America, Southeast Asia, where they can get sick with, a disease like dengue, right? So if somebody goes, let's say I just went to Mexico recently, and these mosquitoes are very prominent in the area that I went. If I would have gotten sick with dengue over there, then I come here and one of those mosquitoes bites me, then it can get infected. And then that same mosquito can bite another person. And that's how local transmission of disease occurs. Does that make sense? So
Wow. The
risk is that now that these mosquitoes are here, the risk for local transmission of these diseases that used to be exotic, it's a lot higher. So we're concerned because we have quite a few big infestation areas. So our biggest areas of concern right now are Winters in Yolo County, and then in Sacramento County, we found them also in like the Arden Arcade area. But last year, we also found them for the first time in areas of like Rosemont or the city of Elk Grove, certain parts of South Sacramento. And our surveillance program is very robust, so we're always looking for these mosquitoes. But those are the sites where we have found them to date. And, you know, this year we've already detected them as well. So before, we used to think that these were like a later in the fall type of mosquito. But, you know, we're learning that they're overwintering and they can, you know, they come out again. I mean, summer's around the corner, but it's still the first time we ever found them was in August. And then the last time that we found them was like in November. But now we're finding them a lot earlier in the year. Like we've already, this year we found them as early as May. So definitely a concern for us, you know, primarily because they breed in containers that are very common in backyard sources. So it's, you know, it's one of those that we call like a game changer mosquito because it requires, you know, very specific control efforts. So once these mosquitoes are detected in any given area, we have to go and do like door-to-door inspections in, you know, in different neighborhoods, and we have to have residents allow us access into their yards where we can do thorough inspections or treatments because, you know, we're trying to get a handle on these invasive mosquitoes before they potentially spread even more than they were already spread at the time.
Right, and you mentioned exotic mosquitoes, too, and what really caught my attention was one that called an Asian tiger mosquito.
Yes, so the Asian tiger mosquito, I said exotic diseases or that were once considered exotic diseases,
right,
that they weren't really here. But, you know, now they are here, and so are the mosquitoes that can transmit them. So both the two species of invasive mosquitoes are Aedes aegypti, or the common name is yellow fever mosquito, and then the other one is called the Asian tiger mosquito, and that's the scientific name is called Aedes albopictus. But both of those mosquitoes, if you look at them under microscope, they look very differently. The Asian tiger mosquito is a very dark black mosquito with a single stripe along its thorax, whereas the Aedes aegypti, you know, it's still dark, but not as dark as the other one, and it has like a violin-shaped color or marking on its mm-hmm. thorax.
Well, I'm just going to stay inside for the entire summer after talking to you.
I'm sorry to scare people. Definitely don't want to scare people. We're trying to just, you know, spread the word, do our due diligence in informing the public, and then making sure that they're also doing their part and helping us to control mosquitoes around their backyard.
Right. Yeah, we know nobody's going to stay indoors all summer. We're all going to be outside, and you're going to keep us safe.
Yes, we definitely attempt to do that. And we, you know, we do lots of public education. We also have a very robust laboratory and surveillance program that tracks and monitors these diseases. And then, of course, we have our what we call our boots on the ground, or our field technicians that are out and about conducting these inspections, doing the treatments, you know, delivering mosquito fish to people that might need them. You know, as part of our services, mosquito fish, they help us control mosquitoes naturally. So we love the fish, and they're great for people that maybe have like a pond or a fountain or a horse trough. We also put them in rice fields and, you know, different areas where mosquitoes might grow.
Sure.
So we definitely love the fish.
What can you tell us about aerial spraying?
So aerial spraying, one of the tools that we use to help us control a West Nile virus, it's something that's not done every year. It depends on, you know, the amount of West Nile virus activity that is detected, right? So
okay.
There's two types of spraying that happens. So our routine agricultural spraying, meaning like we spray the areas that are like the rice fields and areas, say, between like Sacramento and Davis that have a lot of agriculture, like pastures and things like that, right? So that's the routine agricultural spraying. And then the other type of aerial spraying, more linked to West Nile virus, that happens when we have detected levels of West Nile virus activity in any given area that are, you know, that can pose a threat to the residents.
Right.
And when we want to reduce mosquito populations quickly and drastically, right? So every year, every season is different. The last time that we did any kind of aerial spraying for West Nile virus, it was in 2018, and we sprayed over parts of the city, Elk Grove, and then the city of Sacramento, the Pocket and Lamb Park. So, you know, every year is a little bit different. There's a misconception that all we do as a district is spray, and that is very, very erroneous.
Right.
90% of the work that we do is treating mosquitoes when they're in the water. It's our preference. However, if we, you know, whenever we have made the decision to spray, it's because we want to reduce mosquito populations quickly, and it's something that we have to do to ensure that we're protecting public health.
Yeah, if it gets bad, that's when you have to spray, right?
Exactly.
Now, can our listeners sign up for spray notifications?
They definitely can, and we highly encourage people to do so, right? Because aside from the aerial spraying, we have a lot of ground spraying that we do. So if people are interested in knowing when we're going to be doing it, say, in their area, they can sign up by zip code, right? So if you go on our website, fightthebite.net, right on the homepage, there's a, on the left-hand side of the page, it says sign up for spray notifications, and then you can sign up for, you know, either only ground or only aerial. There's some boxes that you would check out depending on your preference. And then, you know, we would send out these notifications to you whenever we're going to be doing any kind of spraying to control mosquitoes that transmit West Nile virus or to help us in the fight against these invasive mosquitoes.
Well, Luz, we're running out of time, but before we go, what is the best way to protect me and my pets from mosquitoes?
The best thing that you can do for yourself, the number one tip that we always say is please, please, please drain all sources of stagnant water. If there's no water in your yard, then you're going to really reduce the areas where mosquitoes can breed. So at least once a week, go around your yard and dump out any water that might be collecting in, you know, pet bowls or toys left outside, or maybe plant saucers, buckets, bird baths, anything that can hold water for more than, you know, a few days, especially in the summer heat. Can and will become a mosquito breeding source. So that's the number one thing that you can do around your house. Obviously also, you know, close the door to make sure the mosquitoes don't come inside. If you're going to be outside, then wear either some long sleeves to cover up or wear an effective mosquito repellent. And then, of course, call the district. If you know of a mosquito breeding source, if you know that somebody has a neglected pool, if you are being bothered by mosquitoes around your home and you don't know where they could be coming from, you know, please call us. We're here to be of service. We like when people request a home service inspection, because then that allows us to come and provide recommendations about how to keep people safe.
Whatever we can do to help you do your job, right? Thank you so much for joining me this morning.
You.
Luz Maria Robles is the Public Information Officer for the Sacramento YOLO Mosquito and Vector Control District. And that website, one more time, where you can get all the details, go to fightthebite.net. I learned a lot again this morning. Thank you so much, Luz.
Yes, thank you for having me. It was a pleasure.
This has been The Public File. If you'd like us to cover your nonprofit, email sacpsa@odyssey.com, sacpsa@audacy.com. I'm Doug Thomas. Be good to each other. And thanks for listening.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.